This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And one more thing before we start the show today. Because this is a live episode, there are a few things that are very visual with the videos and with some of the fashion report. So, if you're interested, we've uploaded a visual companion for your viewing pleasure for the episode. You can find that on our YouTube page, and if we did not screw it up, you can find it in the episode description in your podcast app. So it's there if you want it, and if you don't even bother, man. Who cares? On with the show. Give it up for the Gilmore Guys! It's happening! Yeah! Now we're up in Brooklyn, ringing in the Bell House, repping for the Gillies. Thank you all for coming out.
If you haven't heard, yeah, we give it all our passion.
Talking pop culture.
Fashion.
Read about synopsis, maybe run a promo.
Talk about the show, but giving spoilers is a no-no.
Go on to our Twitter, answer all your questions.
Get some bad puns.
Or some really bad impressions.
Then we do some ratings, give you guys some shout-outs.
Hey, enough about the podcast. What's this episode about?
Let's hear it for TJ. Woo! He and Liz are perfect. Wedding in his tights, he can breathe and he can work it.
Luke can see your face now, so he takes a big chance.
Ask her for a wedding, ask her for another dance.
Yeah, Jess says he's ready, tries to run away with Rory. I know it sounds crazy, it's just another story.
Gilmore! Hey! Gilmore Girls, this show is the greatest. We're talking the latest episode of Gilmore. Let's take it back to stars Hollow.
For my true gillies, I can't believe you guys are here. This is so silly.
Cop a boom and I'm shaking to my core. Now we're all here and we know what for.
Do we want Gillis? No, we want Gilmore. Do we want Gillis? Do we want Gilmore?
Gilmore. Hey. Gilmore Girls, that show is the greatest. We're talking the latest episode of Gilmore. Let's take it back to Stars Hollow. They lead and we follow. Follow for Gilmore, Gilmore, Gilmore. La la la, la la, episode 421. It's last week's fight, this week's tight.
It rhymes and it's literal, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a synopsis in the title.
This
so don't walk.
Yes. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jimmy.
And we are the Gilmore Guys. This continues to be crazy. The rowdiness and the fervor of this crowd is unparalleled in all the 5 shows we've done so far.
It's insane.
In 3 different cities.
Thank you. We're constantly blown away.
What's that?
We're just constantly blown away. It's overwhelming.
It's
like
crazy.
We just did this and I'm still just like, ugh.
Yeah. Wait, you're a little nervous by it?
Maybe
a little nervous? Okay.
What if I forget the name of the show? Like, I call it Gilmore Girls.
I love Gossip Girl.
I love Gossip Girl.
Oh, boy. Just, who here was also at the first show tonight? Woo!
Thank you for coming back.
Wow.
You guys spent $30.
We got to change a lot of stuff about this show.
We got to change a lot of things. For instance,
and then who among you who are at both shows tonight are coming to the show on Wednesday? A smaller percentage.
Yeah, yeah.
They're small, but they're mighty. I like it. Oh, boy. Well, for some of you, this is your first show, first time ever seeing us live. And sorry, like...
Can you believe it?
I paid this much money to see a podcast. I made a mistake.
It's free on the internet. You can just download this.
Please understand, what's happening right now, you can get for free in like a month. Like, this is a mistake you've made.
This is like the third show we've started by telling the crowd they're wrong for being here.
You guys suck.
Thank you, for real.
Thank you, for real, yeah. Yeah,
no bits about this.
Thank you, for real. How do we want to pull the audience? We have a lot of the same people here, so.
Okay,
want to get to know
If you
them?
Were in the previous show, don't answer these questions.
Yeah, everyone shut up if you're in the first show. Team Jeff. Okay.
All right.
We'll say Team Logan.
There's some overlap there.
That one's bigger. I have a sense that the people in the first show did not abide by our rules.
Oh, there are booers?
I heard some boos.
I can't wait to
And
get
then
to
let's hear it for Team D.
Boo. Let's bring Jared Padalecki out. No, I'm kidding. Could you guys imagine if he's just like, it's really, thanks. You know, I enjoyed my time on the show.
Hell, guys? I put a lot of hard work into this show. He is a gorgeous man. Milo's a gorgeous man. They're all gorgeous.
I wish we had taken a video of his hair just to show people.
You wish.
Yeah, I do. As much as I can talk about it, like, I feel like it's one of those things you gotta see, like Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis. Who here would agree with me? Here, we can ask this. Who would agree with me that Emily is the best character on the show? Bow down.
Oh, come on, don't do this again. Every single show we have done since this happened, you put up a fucking photo.
She knew.
It's not that she knew. That's not the part that people are like, oh, what? It's the lobster claws.
No, it's not a lobster.
You put around her
I'm
shoulders.
Tired of defending this. No, I'm not. I'm not tired of defending it.
Like, you were just like, if I can just get a little bit of the flesh, I can create my own Kelly Bishop.
I just start digging into her. She gets home. I have bruises.
Well, that's weird.
Oh, boy. Who here on the Demi side of things would agree that Paris is the best character?
You guys are correct.
Who would agree that Shell is the best character?
Shell. Don't lie, half of you don't know who that is.
Shell Sossman, the poultry guy from 420, guys, come on. Get real. We all know that.
The back of his shirt says Team Shell, so.
Team Shell, yeah, who's wearing a Team Shell shirt? I hope we see one of those next month in Philly,
show
or DC. That'd be amazing. Oh, man. Already, my voice is going.
That's good.
Yeah, but it's not for everything we have to do.
Oh, why? We got to do something?
Well, we gotta introduce our special guest.
So let's do it
right now.
Let's do it. La la, la la, special guest.
Well, you know this woman. She is a friend of the show, a good friend of the show, and from Parks and Recreation, ladies and gentlemen, it's Aisha Muhari.
You know this man from The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, ladies and gentlemen, Mike DiCenzo.
That ate oatmeal is
great
his shirt. And of course, this is a recovering child actor. She told me to say that. And she's on Twitter way too much. Give it up for Mara Wilson. Wow. Wowie.
Oh, man.
Oh, is this cool or what? Is this good? We're good? Awesome. Aisha, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for
having me. Second time in the row tonight.
I know. I was like, I can't believe people are back. And then I was like, oh, I'm also back. I'm also back again.
You're one of those people.
Yeah. Happy to be.
And Mike, very happy for joining us.
Thank you, and fantastic rap. That was amazing. I heard that. Yes. I love that you went even into the bridge of the song, too. That was fantastic.
We got it. Well, we got to give the full experience.
Yeah. Alicia Keys would only let us use the song if we use all of her parts.
Yeah, we had to call it. It was a long conference call last night. And Mara, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, no. Thank you.
This is so fun.
No, thank you. Like I told you guys twice backstage, I'm a fan of the show and a fan of the show. So, you know.
The second show in that sense is, of course, our show. In case you're keeping score at home. Now, Mike and Mara are both new to the show tonight. This is their first guest appearances on this show.
That's right.
So we got to ask you the question. Everyone's wondering. Team Shell? Just kidding.
Shell Sossman?
Yeah.
Love
yeah, Mr. Sossman, baby. Team Logan, Dean, or Jess, or Marty, or whoever.
You go first, because mine is complicated.
Like a Meryl Streep movie.
I don't know. I guess Jess. I got to go with Jess.
Wait, you're not going with Jess. You're conceding to Jess.
Yeah, this isn't like a victory for Jess as much as it is a admitting of defeat.
You've made the right choice.
To his hair and whatnot. And Mara, what's your complicated answer?
Okay. I couldn't be Team Jess because I started watching the show too late, and I feel like by that time I was just over the bad boy quote types, like, I wear a leather jacket, I like Chuck Palahniuk. I was like, whatever. But what I do love, and this is spoilers, so cover your ears, Demi, and everybody else.
Cover your ears.
I like Dean when he's a dirtbag.
I can't wait to listen to this when I get home and figure out what that was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like when he beats up Tristan, I mean, you know. And I really don't want to like him at the, but I can't help but,
wow,
you know.
This is definitely a minority opinion.
I know it is. My friends are in the front row wearing Team Jess shirts. Literally, so
and now,
yeah.
Friendship over. Great.
Is this a character that hasn't made an appearance yet?
Yeah. Season 7, it's freaking, what's her name?
Poochie?
Yeah, yes. It's Poochie in season 7. I have to go.
I'm Team Poochie, I'll say that right now.
Shout out to the 90s.
You remember?
Poochie is sure is one outrageous dude. He's totally in your face.
He's totally in my face. Oh, boy. So, yeah, I'm so interested in your journey with the show, Mike, because you've actually talked about this on another podcast, rendering this all moot, but...
I only do Gilmore Girls related podcasts.
Yeah, Mike told us backstage that he only does Gilmore Girls related podcasts. So this, you've actually gone on record and said that Gilmore Girls has made you a better person.
Yes, that's true.
So in what sense has it made you a better
I would say
man?
That maybe before Gilmore Girls I might have been a more closed-minded person. And then, you know, I probably assumed Gilmore Girls was like a girly show for girls. I know. And then I just randomly was like channel surfing and I saw a season 4 episode. I believe it was Ted Koppel's Big Night Out.
K-B-N-O.
Starring Ted Koppel.
And the scene where she's in the grocery store with the sour cream and onion potato chips. Be that as it may, I just was like, oh, this is actually a funny show, interesting show. And then I went back and I started watching all of it. Then I preached it to all my male friends in college. And there's many lifelong Gilmore Girls fans because of my proselytizing.
That is... And for those that didn't catch it, for the listener at home, Mike is sporting a Babette ate oatmeal. Representing.
with the exclamation point included.
Yes, I mean, that's very important. Absolutely. What was your journey getting into the show?
Mine? It was actually similar. I was, you know, this angry, like Paris without the schoolwork
being goodness. I relate to Paris a lot, but I do not have her organizational skills. I was a very, very angry teenager. And so I was just like, that show's girly, whatever. And then my brother, my older brother was watching it, and he was like, no, this show is amazing. You need to watch it. And he was watching it like while on home, you know, for the holidays, and I was like, all right, fine. Oh, God, I can't stop. And I was so into it, and I got really into it really quickly, and then I went off to college and was like, let's watch Gilmore Girls, everybody, and then season 6 happened, and nobody wanted to watch with me anymore.
Season 6 or season 7?
Halfway through season 6, everybody in my dorm stopped watching it.
Oh.
So I was so sad because I loved it so much, yeah. But you know, I asked for the DVDs for the holidays and I got them, so you know.
All good things must come to an end. Does anyone here believe that season 7 is better than season 6?
No. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
No, but you have to watch
it. I hope the audience mic is picking up all of this.
I still haven't finished season 7. I know I want to. I will eventually in my own time.
I think season 7's fantastic.
Gone through all the seasons.
Really, you do. Yeah. So my Mike is a season 7 defender.
I think that there was a hole that was dug in season 6 and season 7. You know, the first half of the season, they had to get out that hole. Yeah. But then the second half, it's like oh yeah, and then yeah.
Again, I want to emphasize how much this crowd is like a congregation on a sweaty Sunday morning. People are like, mm-hmm.
So you're Taylor. You're Taylor then.
Mike DeSanto. What's
that? Does that make you Taylor?
Would it?
That makes him the pastor.
I've become what I hate. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 421. Last week, fights. This week, tights. Although, fights. Plural. Yeah. There was one fight in the strip club. What would the other fight be?
Just emotional.
Oh, it's... Lindsay and Dean. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Okay. The Netflix synopsis is Jess walks his mother down the aisle at her Renaissance-themed wedding. Luke asks Lorelai on a date. Dean confides in Rory about his unhappy marriage. Ooh, shit. Oh, you guys know.
Have you guys seen this episode, or?
You guys know. Oh, boy. So let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
Where we take every pop culture reference in the episode, put them in a super cut, and just say, like, what? What's going on?
What's that mean?
What's that mean? So this is episode 421. Uh-oh.
You need me to fill for time, man?
Did Daddy forget to put on... No, there it is.
Oh, no.
Also, don't call yourself Daddy.
Daddy made a
boo-boo. Oh, Daddy forgot a promo.
Daddy made a boo-boo. Okay.
Okay.
This is episode 421, Pop Goes the Culture.
It's a classic Sun Tzu art of war maneuver. If you're being attacked from the east, attack whoever's to your west, and you are the west. I've never read the book. It's full of crap like that.
I don't have to think about Chaucer or Euclid or Kafka or Machiavelli for months. I could just think about Jane Magazine and its Blossom Theory.
Hope ye took much pleasure in Kajagoogoo. Methinks Oingo Boingo will soon make us an appearance.
What is wrong with this shoe polish?
The fact that Pontius Pilate was alive when you bought it?
I reenacted the Dwarf's Maypole choreography from the safety dance video.
Julius Caesar pulled it off. He was very popular with the ladies.
It involves the J word.
Oh, not more about Jesus. I'm sick of him and Mel Gibson.
Can you say Leslie Van Houten?
That actually felt good. Like I had a Jack LaLanne workout.
The Queer Eye guys are very against old polish.
I work with Joan Crawford. This is worse.
Before you got here, they were singing the Lumberjack song at the top of their lungs. They're embarrassment proof. It was commonly known that James Madison liked big knockers.
I bet a lot of founding fathers like big knockers. I'm sorry for laughing. I'd explain if I could.
It's a double entendre. I've been in this country 20 years. I get things.
Is double entendre a pop culture thing?
No, I just wanted to put that in.
Fair enough.
It's a good Mrs. Kim moment, I feel like.
The woman that they go, is that Leslie Van Houten? Does she come back? Or is that just... What? Oh, I thought you said Beyonce. I was like, no. Huh.
I had to Google
like,
that reference.
Come back,
no, I'm just like, why did they focus on her as if to be like, she gave
just
her
just to be mean.
Oh, okay.
I think
because she
like,
gave.
Imagine
a...
that girl's day on the set. You're an extra. You go on Gilmore Girls. It's a good day's work.
you watch it. Mom, Dad, I'm on the episode tonight. Leslie Van Houten over there. That's a horrific, yeah, that's a bummer.
I just thought, because they focused on her in a weird way, and it made it look like she was giving a look to Luke, that I was like, oh, is she important?
Oh, yeah, she's going to wreck it in season 5. Great. Bro. Leslie Van Houten.
She ruins the wedding.
Shit. And then, of course, we need to go into the time machine and take a look at a WB promo from this era. So this is such a fun segment for everybody, I feel like. So this is how WB marketed this show to an audience at the time.
To sell the show.
Oh, and just to know, it does cut out a little bit at the beginning, but I think you'll get it.
We should have fun, you know, like a movie or something. How about Wednesday?
And what Rory thought was over could just be the beginning.
Where? I don't know. Away. Don't think about it.
Fresh Gilmore Girls, next week on the WB's New Tuesday.
They're pretty much like, just cut to the first reaction and then get out of there.
I don't know.
Poor Alexis Bledel, like, watching that, being like, oh, God, they used that take?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a good promo. I do love the intense string orchestra in that.
I also love how they frame it. It's like, will she choose Jess or will she choose Dean? It's like, Dean is told to leave immediately.
Go home to your dumb wife, Dean.
Go home to your lover.
They'll go home to your stupid wife. So, of course,
that is two shows in a row that you've made a weird comment about.
No, wives no. Okay, listen. Listen, I do hope to get married one day, so you can't ruin this for me.
Cut it out. He's cutting it out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to cut it out. No, I won't. I like leaving embarrassing stuff about me in the show, including... Demi's wearing a shirt that says a little to the left.
For the audience at home, it's my a little to the left shirt, which I still remain as not sexual, even though the entire audience disagrees with me.
No, there is mixed opinion. Yeah. And that's what this show is about, mixed opinions. Yeah. All sorts of perspectives and viewpoints coming together and celebrating.
The right people.
From
mostly white people, though.
Yes.
As much as I love this show, that is kind of a problem. With
no, is there? Is that an offensive poll to take?
What?
What? How many people of color are in this audience?
All right, now if you're black, oh no, I'm kidding. We're gonna separate the room into.
No, that's not what I meant.
Did you all come in through the right door?
Yeah. Make us all feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, well.
Point us out and make us feel weird about it.
Oh. No, I'm just saying that the most of the characters on Gilmore Girls were white.
Right. Yeah. Oh, There's not one black character that I can think of.
Not one.
The entire first season.
No one
we got
ever.
So many
color is ever
going.
On
hey,
the
what
show.
About Michelle?
No
Michelle,
one's French. That's for sure.
Anyway,
I mean, it does take place in Connecticut, so.
That's
yeah.
true.
It's
I
probably
mean, I'm
accurate.
From Connecticut. So.
I was born in Connecticut.
No.
I'm busting stereotypes all over the place.
This is weird. This
yes.
I don't think you can refute her birth.
This turned into like a Larry Wilmore panel. What are we doing?
Yeah. All right. So Connecticut. Let's break it down.
Well, I think
barriers.
We learned a lot. I think we learned a lot.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about what I think is the highlight of this episode. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say the dance.
Kirk
yes.
DJ?
Yeah.
And this is a show, the show is so, the language on the show, the dialogue is so fundamental to what the show is. That's how everyone communicates or tries to communicate or can't communicate. And so this is such a beautiful and sweet moment where the dialogue takes a back seat to visuals and to music, which is so lovely. So no bit zone, we're going to go ahead and play that scene.
You want to dance?
Really?
Yeah.
You said before you don't dance.
Well, I'm a compulsive liar.
Okay, yeah, let's dance.
Their faces.
Reflect happened?
Nothing really happened. I mean, Demi and I just expressed.
Right. Just love. Chill.
It's fine. It doesn't have to be weird.
Kevin, did you cry?
You know, I didn't. I'm sorry if that disappoints anyone. Okay, I think I proved I'm not a robot. I don't think that's worthy of a boo. I cried at I almost cried at Magic Mike, but I did not cry.
It is a thing of beauty. I mean,
we have a lot to talk about.
Kind of tears where, like, when wind is blowing in your face, you're just like,
oh, because it blew me away so much. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good, accurate description. So this, of course, is the scene that takes place at TJ and Liz's wedding. Their fun, quirky, weird, silly Billy wedding. All the Renaissance people, all the Carries of the world. Which actually, you know what?
I love Carrie.
You know, I'm so disorganized for tonight. This is so bad. But I do want to play a scene, just given that her name is Carrie. I just want to play this one scene. Because you know what? It just reminded me, I feel like there was this scene, but then I fixed it a little bit. I added something.
Girls are not supposed to be monogamous either. We're homo sapiens, not rocks.
That's so unromantic.
Oh, you can say that. You got lucky.
Yeah, TJ is yum yum.
Is he? Is he?
Animals in the wild don't mate for life except like tigers, but they're retarded.
Hey, Liz.
Her name is Carrie, but she's a Samantha for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. I also realized in this moment that Carrie is every woman I've ever met at a Bruce Springsteen show. Where it's like, hey, I'm like, oh, okay, good to meet you. So the wedding. Let's talk about the wedding. Let's talk about the quirkiness. This is a Daniel Palladino written episode, and he seems to specialize in particular in quirk and townies and fun interactions with the minor characters. Did it work on a broad scale? Did the wedding work? The Renaissance stuff, was Dave Gruber, Alan funny? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean,
these are all leading questions.
I did think it was weird that they got the Strummy Lala, singer to do the dance that they're actually dancing to.
That's what I was thinking.
That's kind of weird because that's sort of like God coming down, you know? Like because that's always sort of this above narration kind of thing. So. To have that be like the song that Luke and Lorelai dance to, that's like it's like God incarnate, you know? It's this omnipotent musical presence that kind of comes down, and it weirded me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of fourth wall-y. Although it just did lead me to ask the question, are TJ and Liz like super Sam Phillips fans that they're like, you know, we're weirdos, I'm Joey, I'm Pepper Ann, but we love Sam Phillips. Sam Phillips is our shit. You know, because that would be the justification in the world of the show.
That was definitely a Liz choice. I feel like TJ's more Smash Mouth or something.
Really?
Look, I love TJ, but he's a Smash Mouth.
I can't.
Look at him.
Guys, okay, for what's about to happen, I cannot emphasize enough that Demi and I did not talk about this, but I took the dance scene and I fixed it.
No!
Okay, yeah, let's dance.
Somebody told me the world is going around me. I'm in the She was looking kind of dumb with a finger and a thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't start
Anna,
coming.
I genuinely, that's not a planned bit.
Guys are so in sync.
We really are.
But look, they're kind of doing it in time. See, it's hilarious.
This is so much more romantic to me. I'm going to cry.
Hey now, you're a rock star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get
okay, I can't. On. I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. I can't.
All that glitters is gold.
I made that and I didn't tell. Like, that was not a set.
Yeah, that was not a setup.
The exact same thing happened in Austin, though.
What?
With the Maroon 5.
Oh, yeah.
For the Lindsay and, or for the Dina.
We only know, 10 songs, so it's bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. It's the Gilmore Guys playlist on Spotify is limited. Less than 10 songs. So, in that moment, I think just like 420 was like a turning point for the show. And a crux. What's the...
420 is the weed number. I don't know if you've heard.
There's another connotation.
I will not entertain this.
I said there's another connotation to 420. It's
I don't know about that. Homeschooler, baby. So 421. This is like the moment where Lorelai's like, do I dig this guy? Am I into him? Because that's what I read. That was the subtext I got from the dance, was like, could this work? Is this a thing? There's definitely chemistry here, and for reasons passing understanding, I'm only now seeing it. But that's when it happens. It's on the dance floor, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's Luke becomes a... He stops being a handyman, he becomes a real man.
Oh, shit! But by the way, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive.
I was about to say, we have a lot of handyman listeners.
Yeah, we don't want to alienate our base, Mike.
Yeah, I apologize.
By suggesting handymen are
real. I need
real
a bookcase fixed.
Oh, boy. But to me, for all the, you know, we talked in the last episode, like, oh, were the self-help tapes a good device? Was it worth it? Blah, blah, blah. But I think this dance was definitely the absolute... right choice. Sam felt like it's one of those iconic moments from the show, and ironic, because again, it doesn't use language, but it's one of those iconic moments from the show where it's like, this is what the show was. And, you know, people get frustrated, like, oh, it takes them 4 years, it takes forever, we even get frustrated. But without that frustration, without that relational blue balls, essentially, then this moment would not be as loaded, as wonderful, and as touching as it is. But overall, I liked it. Let's get another taste of some of the quirk of the wedding. And what is probably the greatest song ever written?
As kids, we shared our toys with all the girls and boys. Barrel of monkeys, your battleships on me. Please recall the joy. With old blue mousetrap, flash and spirograph, kaleidoscope spinning, Yahtzee unwinning. Think of how we laughed. But today we share our love.
We share our love.
For love is the greatest joy around,
around,
around.
Oh. Think of something not funny.
Can't.
I love your shoes, first of all.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But this moment did confuse me. Not for any logistical reasons, because it's like Dave Grohl, who played the competing troubadour who like owned a Kinko's.
Does he even have a name? Is he just the troubadour?
He's just a guy. He might have a name. I'm about to get. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
And so for that, they're like trying to stifle laughter, as if it's like, oh, this is real embarrassing for him. Oh, it's so funny. But it is kind of just like funny and weird and sweet and charming, right? Are Lorelai and Luke being kind of D-bags in this moment? Because it's like, no, it's fine. Like, he's just like kind of a weird, funny dude. Right?
No, I think it's like, I mean, imagine sitting there and seeing that guy approaching you.
That's all I can do.
I think it makes sense that they're laughing. And then it's sweeter, too, with later, they're like, oh, this isn't funny. Like, that. Then that moment lands where it's like, they're joking and everything's funny to Luke and Lorelai, you know, banter, banter, sarcasm. Then it's like, oh, no, this is actually really sweet.
Yeah. Which is, it's a weird moment they pick to say this is sweet. It's just going him going, well, this doesn't have pockets. I love it.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, that was, see, that's, the reactions were weirdly like alien and flip. Like, I felt like they should have been charmed by that.
Were you crying when you saw that guy singing?
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yahtzee, I'm winning.
Yahtzee,
I thought it was supposed to be a funny song. I was kind of like, why isn't everybody, like, if you sing Yahtzee, I'm winning, like, even in the world of Gilmore Girls... At a wedding, that's going to be... People are going to be like... They're not going to do the suppressed laughter thing. They're going to do like, ha-ha, aw.
Yeah.
Kind of laugh. They're going to do that
laugh. Why are they surprised that something weird is happening in Stars Hollow?
That's very true.
Wow.
Or at TJ and Liz's wedding.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Two of the weirdest characters... Yeah.
They're like, boy, this is too quirky, even for us. Like, all of a sudden, there's like quirk snobbery happening on the show. And then, just speaking more to the general sense of the wedding. Oh, we took this poll. We'll take it again. Team TJ?
Firstly, that's not nearly enough of you. TJ is the greatest.
TJ's great. I'm sorry. Demi and I mean, at least for where we are in the show right now.
No.
Does he do something worse in the future? I don't understand.
He just says, great. I'm in escrow a bunch. I mean, that's like, I think that's what everyone thinks of when they're like, no, TJ sucks, as they're thinking of that
he
one.
He gets grating later on, but right now he's cute.
I feel like he's annoying now. The tights? Shut up about the tights.
The tights?
What's wrong with tights?
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you don't like...
You don't like tights?
You don't like a man in tights.
I like to wear tights. I like...
But not on men?
No, they're fine. I'm not against tights.
I think you're talking...
Good.
I'm against him talking about tights.
Because I love tights.
Are you guys talking about air pants?
Yeah.
My bottom half looks like Venom, like Spider-Man.
But they can breathe.
Oh.
For the listener
at
home.
What were you guys going to do if I hadn't brought up tights?
Again,
are you gonna take off your pants?
I can't tell you how many of the cues on this show are an accident.
Yes. I was just like, I'm just going to wear these.
Like, when are you going to take, you're just going to take off your pants at some other random moment.
Like during audience Q&A, someone ask a really sensitive question, be like, okay, 1 second.
Yeah. Exactamundo.
So how are they?
Guys, these are, I can't. Yes, they're incredible. I can't, if we were sponsored at this point, I'd be like, guys, go buy tights. I don't, whatever company.
Talk to you, buy tights.
Yeah, they feel great, whatever.
Yeah, that'll be a sponsor.
I feel weird having
season.
My pants just on the floor behind me. But.
Very Magic Mike.
It is very, this is like a $10 Magic Mike. This is what you get for 15
take
instead
a shot.
Of $10
take
million.
Every time someone mentions Magic anyway. Mike. Oh, brother. So, I mean, yeah, we're charmed by TJ. We like him right now. This is just, we're discussing one episode at a time, so all we have to go on is these episodes. So, there.
He's a sweet dude.
I stand by how I feel.
And that's okay.
Wrong.
Again, this is a show where we can all disagree and agree with one another on different aspects. Speaking of the wedding, Demi did want to point out something about dance extras.
One of my favorite things in literally anything you watch.
This sounds like a TED talk, by the way.
I will give a TED talk on this very topic if I could. I'd keep you all here for an extra hour. If you watch anything with dancing in it, including the Spring Break episode, mute it and just watch the extras dance to nothing. Because that's what it must have been like on set. So
for example, we're just going to play the same. Like, what tempo does the guy on the left think it's at?
There's definitely three different tempos going on here.
And then, okay. So then Demi and I fixed the scene and added something.
Right.
And made it a nightmare. Because that's what this is. A nightmare.
This is the one scene of the episode directed by David Lynch.
It's very haunting.
It really is.
It's very scary.
Are you guys scared yet? Look at the guy in the back with the tie, like, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, so that was a journey into darkness.
Dancing background extras is my favorite thing in the world.
That's your favorite
it's
thing
It's my favorite
world.
Thing.
Like, above anything.
It's like that and then maybe, like, a happy relationship or something. And then everything else. But that was not supposed to be a sad moment. Don't pretend me. Don't do that. Come on.
Oh, man. So, of course, this is the episode as well where, for some reason, we don't really see it in between 420 and 421, but Luke does convince Jess to walk Liz down the aisle. We just see a little conversation at the end of 420 where he's like, you should do it. And he's like, no, I'm still a little Rory. And it continues to be just Philip Seymour Hoffman, unfortunately. So we see that, but we don't totally get the motivation for that. We just see him walking her down the aisle in a very boxy shirt. In a shirt that's like, oh, I think that's a nightie for a small person.
He couldn't have looked like more grudging as he did that too. He's just like, I can't wait to get out of this wedding.
Yeah, by the way, is this fashion? Yeah. I think it is. fashion. Okay, let's do it, baby.
All right, let's.
And I just want to point out, accentuate the positive. I just want to talk about Lorelai's dress in this first act. This is her and Miss Patty, who's looking fabulous as usual. Kirk looking at these children in the distance like he works it for Subway or something.
Oh my God.
Topical.
Wait, are you guys owing because he said Subway?
Oh, I like Subway. But Lorelai's dress just is fabulous. Kirk looks like, how would you put it, Demi?
He is the spokesperson for
Subway.
Literally anything.
I said that.
He looks like he's trying to canvass the neighborhood for like votes or something.
Perhaps. And then, of course,
he looks like Doug Funny. The cartoon character?
The crowd is very split.
His body shape is very Doug Funny. Have you ever seen him without a shirt? Have you been there yet?
That's true.
Bro, you even seen Doug Funny without a shirt?
No, not Doug.
Doug Kirk. Funny's ripped to shit, man.
Kirk, no, do you know about Kirk?
Well, he has the dancing monologue. His shirt's not off for that, is it?
I think that happens later.
Okay.
Oh, the shirtless there. Scene?
Shirtless Kirk.
It's a weird thing to see.
The CCC.
I just realized these are all leaves around her.
And then, of course, in this next scene, what did the coolest punks in the world read? Answer, Punk Planet. I love this. Which is, the cover story seems to be The Final Countdown, but about a guy that's sad. It doesn't seem very punk to me.
Punk is all about sadness and communism.
Yeah, so this is Jess sitting in the park bench. I don't think it's about communism. Just sitting in a park bench, wearing a pearl snap flannel, which there's about two buttons done on it. The two bottom buttons, no. For top button, no.
He looks like a cholo. I love it.
He looks like a juggalo, is what you said?
A cholo. He's got just enough button in case he needs to stay strapped.
I thought you said juggalo. Okay. And then, of course, Little Miss Rory on the campus. This is a blue... What's one of the girls want to take? I don't know what I'm describing.
A shirt?
You can. You know, I ran into this.
Kevin has no idea what clothes are. What's this? A skirt, but for the top?
It's like pants, but you wear it on your top half. And instead of pant legs, it's sleeves. Okay.
Rory looks like she belongs in a college brochure for like what to do if you get in trouble or something.
Call campus security.
Yeah, call campus security.
Call security.
It's just three numbers. You can remember.
Yeah, but she's pretty apathetic about it, unfortunately. She's not very spirited. Okay, and of course, I think, you know, just subconsciously, I think something we all do is we watch maybe even the show, but like different TV shows and movies, and sometimes we see someone, we're like, I really like that style. That's something I want to like model myself after. Or like something, you know, I like that shirt. Where can I get that shirt? And for me, I found the fashion model. For me in this scene.
Oh! Shout out to Chester, aka
Chester.
Baby Julian Casablancas.
Yes!
Interestingly enough.
I love the stripes. He looks like a Mork and Mindy character.
It's the neck.
It does. It's a bit of a Mork and. Alright. It's a bit of a Mork and Mindy
character. It's a little character. Star Trek, too.
It is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of crossover between the two audiences.
They're the same.
He looks like a Trekkie. Yeah. He looks like a Trekkie.
You could totally be a Trekkie.
Yeah, Lorelai would never
date some other person who would.
And this also is a scene, a hilarious scene, where Tana makes Chester only speak in cliches. In Nick cliches, if you will. And of course, it's fun and quirky. We all love it. Did you guys love it? It was fun.
Tana,
I thought it was fun.
What I love
wished...
is how Tana keeps saying, it's so much fun, it's so funny, it's so much fun, and everybody else is like, we hate this.
Yeah. I thought it was fun, and then Paris started getting mean about it. I was like, come on, let them have their fun. They're literally going to leave in 2 seconds. So.
Yeah, she just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. Paris has a very low threshold for anything.
Classic Stars Hollow character here. I mean, what is there to say? This is, of course, the stripper that goes into Luke's. Which, by the way, check out the right-hand side of the frame with the little girl looking in.
I forgot. There's a window to Taylor's.
There's a wall. And then, of course, Taylor is looking at the little girl.
like no, off in the corner. He's like, I can't see
he's
this.
He's like giving a sermon or something off in the corner.
No, but isn't that just the cardboard?
Yeah, I think that's a cardboard.
Sorry,
is
guys.
It?
No.
Yes.
Again,
crush our dreams.
Is it just a cardboard cutout? Is it just a cardboard cutout? What? And of course, what can we say about our queen? Always and eternally fabulous.
Yeah.
And whatever that thing is called.
Once again, that is a jacket.
You know, it's possible I'm overthinking this. It's possible.
It's and like then, a blanket, but for my top.
I actually kind of like this shirt on Lane.
This this shirt too. Yeah.
This kind of like the astrology thing.
I
with
feel like
smiley
I had
faces
that shirt
and candy.
I feel like I had that shirt in 2004, you know? I feel like that was kind of a thing. Like also, I totally had the same hair as Jess in 2004.
Really?
I had a very awkward growing out bob that curled a little too much. And so
Jess's hair in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are, of course, referring to this cut. Right?
Yes. Yes.
That was you.
That with bangs. That with bangs.
I'm trying to imagine it. Pretty good look.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a reason I have long hair now. Yeah.
Long hair. Okay. And of course, Bruce Springsteen concert flashbacks for me. With Crazy Carrie at the...
I like the dude in the background giving like a stern talking to.
This is a lot of
that guy
background
in the
extra report.
Yeah, that guy in the background's having a second like falling in love story. I want to see that movie.
Tell me more. And then overall, ladies, how did you, and it's up on the screen now, how did you enjoy Liz's dress?
I like it.
Thought it was cute.
It's pretty cute, right? You know what? Say what you will about Liz and TJ, but they're pretty cute. Guys, you gotta give it up for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Lorelai's dress, though? It's a little...
I like it.
It's a little Forever 21. But this is one thing I've been wondering when I watched this show. I feel like, didn't kind of everybody dress like that 10 years ago? Like, everybody dressed like teenagers 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was wearing, like, the sweatsuits and these... Yeah, and so, like, it's not a surprise that... Like maybe Lorelai wears these clothes because, you know, she's younger, but, like, everybody else in the town kind of dresses like that, too. They all dress really young, I think, anyway. Was that a trend, or is that just the show?
That they would dress young?
Yeah, like, I feel like that was the style at the time.
Younger, Sutton Foster style?
I cannot.
Sweet ref.
Sweet. Thanks for the sweet ref.
Check.
But, you know, I did enjoy the dress. I don't know if it's a trend. Can you speak on that, Aisha, as a female?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know,
I don't know. I mean, I think Lorelai has a distinct style that's different from the other townspeople. But I did notice that there are a lot of baggier jackets, which I feel like is a thing that we've lost to, like, people. Everything's very fitted now, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, things are a lot more fitted. Like, there are a lot of wide-leg pants. Like, Dean's wearing, like, major wide-leg pants.
Yeah, and Rory's jacket is huge in the episode before this. It's, like,
totally.
Just, yeah.
This is the peak of MC Hammer's career. Everyone's trying to get in on that. I really like Luke's suit, though. I think it looks nice. It's like, boring. It's just a suit. But
the tie works.
Yeah.
The tie
works. He cleans up good.
He does.
He cleans up good.
Absolutely. And, of course, these pretty little boys. We're talking Brian and Zach with their cute little ties.
These are the guys from Office Space, right? That's who they're dressed like.
Someone's missing their stapler in this scene.
It's Mrs.
I feel
Kim.
Like I have both of those ties, by the way. I don't know if I'm going to wear them again, but there they are. And then, of course, well, we can talk about Rory's fashion in this scene. This is her in the dorm room. But also what I'm concerned with is what's happening on the whiteboard behind her. So we've taken a picture of the whiteboard and kind of blown it up. It says Chuck Rules, Teacher's Pet. That's pretty generic.
Shun Rule?
Giles is a something.
Meet me at Sardo's, Tina, at 4:20.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Tana has to do for the day.
And then there's like an illustration of a guy that kind of looks like if Bart Simpson had like a problem or something.
Like if he got smoothed out.
Wait, what does that say? Rocks?
Yeah, it looks
it
like
says, it says Roop.
I hope it says Rube.
It definitely
I hope it says Rube, guys.
Not an A.
I cannot condone that. If it doesn't, good.
I want to believe great. There's a guy on campus named Rube.
And then, of course, Jess in the end. Everyone's favorite boy. Oh, I have another picture of him, actually. This is the Edward Scissorhands picture again. Listen.
Be nice.
Anyway, and speaking to that, I have to say, well, actually, should we close out the fashion report?
Okay.
Fashion. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Let's speak to Jess in this episode.
Because we're about to be on some people's sides.
Yeah. And listen, for the most part, Jess in this episode, although what I did find funny is, we talked about this, he says, oh, I'll be sure to say goodbye to Liz, and then you never see him say goodbye.
Yeah, she's like, he's like, I'm just going to get something. Promise? Promise. And the next time we see him, he's at Yale.
Or no, he's not at Yale. He goes to Luke's before. To Luke.
Oh, and he says he said bye.
Okay.
Come on, guys, give him a break.
And we're giving him a break.
We are. We're trying to break. We're just not doing a good job of it.
Yeah. So this leads to my favorite Jess scene up to this point. This leads to Jess and Luke saying goodbye in this episode. And no bid zone, we're gonna play a clip. Everyone shut up.
I wanna pay you back all the money.
You don't have to.
I want to. And I appreciate it. Everything. Money, living here.
Well, it's good to hear, but I kind of knew that.
Yeah, but in a relationship, any relationship, it's important to let the other person know you appreciate them so you don't create barriers that delay any hope for reciprocation.
I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah?
You're hoping for reciprocation? You got it. I'm here, Jess. I'm always here.
Thanks. Did I work out?
Pie was perfect.
Yeah, whatever. Guys, that's the sweetness
That was a great scene.
That's undeniably
It's good to see Jess turning around and like having some self-awareness about him kind of being an asshole in the
past. It's self-awareness, too. Although, again, the device is, I read that book, and now I'm enlightened. But you know, that's what
book.
It is. I know, that book, I mean, does that book exist in real life? I think it must have been made just for the show.
You Deserve Love?
You Deserve, yes. Does that exist, Mike?
I don't know, man.
I gotta Google.
Can we see your Amazon history, Mike?
Oh, brother.
I like Jess in this episode. I'm not a huge Jess fan, but I really like him in this episode.
Can I read a tweet that you tweeted last night? Or can you just recite it?
Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
Actually, it might be better if you just say it, because I can't find the tweet right now.
I said that I was watching this with my friends, and I was the only one in the room that thought Jess Mariano would be bad in bed. I just don't think he'd be very giving. I don't think he'd take direction very well.
He spends the entire
He'd be passionate, but he wouldn't take direction or any he would get up and like storm out if you were like a little to the left.
For the audience, that was a little to the right, though. So.
Oh, no. That's an interesting idea because, well, we did see him in a bedroom in a previous season. Mm-hmm. And he was not good in that bedroom.
Yeah.
He was a bad man in that bedroom, everybody. A bad, bad man. So we can agree to that. But now we see evolution. We see change. Maybe seeing his mom be happy with a kind of a weirdo, Tribbiani, but overall an okay guy. Maybe
that
helps.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything bad yet. He's just an idiot who is in love. He's nice.
He's a teenage boy. I mean, teenage Mariana? Boys can be... Yeah, yeah. He can... I don't know. I like to think that Jess grew out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also has a lot of issues. I mean, His dad's gone. His mom. They changed the story about his mom to fit.
She's
so now his mom
fine.
Seems great and like really
nice. I'm a cool
nice.
Hippie now.
Yeah, she seems awesome. Yeah. But.
A cool hippie who's like blown away by the idea of having a child out of wedlock.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so weird.
She's like, what?
What? My.
I do declare.
Me, oh my. So this is, just to give you guys the journey, this is where I am with watching this show. With this episode, I should say. I like Jess. It's been all right. He's been sweet to his mom, walked her down the aisle, had a good, nice exchange with Luke. Now let's watch him blow all that goodwill away.
Why don't you leave me alone? You won't go away.
Rory.
What do you want?
I don't know. I just wanted to see you, talk to you. I just...
What?
Come with me.
What?
Come with me.
Where?
I don't know. Away.
Are you crazy?
Probably. Do it. Come with me. Don't think about it.
I can't do that.
You don't think you can do it, but you can. You can do whatever you want.
It's not what I want.
It is. I know you.
You don't know me.
We'll go to New York. We'll work. We'll live together. We'll be together. It's what I want. It's what you want, too.
No.
I want to be with you, but not here. Not this place. Not Stars Hollow. We have to start new.
There's nothing to start.
But... you're packed. Your stuff is all in boxes. It's perfect. You're ready. And I'm ready. I'm ready for this. You can count on me now. I know you couldn't count on me before, but you can now. You can.
No.
Look, you know we're supposed to be together. I knew it the first time I saw you 2 years ago. And you know it too. I know you do.
No.
But don't say no just to make me stop talking or make me go away. Only say no if you really don't want to be with me.
No.
Okay.
I gotta go.
And that's how the episode ends. That's good. That's some good stuff. It's some good drama right there. Good old
I like that his
drama.
Reasoning for her to run away is that her stuff is all packed.
Like, it'd be really
there's
easy.
A U-Haul
this
outside.
This worked out perfectly.
Your
stuff is all packed.
Well, there
it's
was the guy
boxes.
Who was a box taping machine, right? Who came in and taped one box the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, freaking Duncan from Veronica Mars. Oh, brother. What was his name?
Graham.
I
know that because under this, I'm wearing a Team Graham shirt. I'm
like,
so
Graham
kidding.
For me is Lauren. Thank you. I'll say that much. Yeah, Graham is just like a weird... perfectly cast, by the way. Perfectly cast for this. Just like... I think I summed it up.
It was a great impression.
But to this moment, I don't think Jess knows what Rory wants. I don't think Rory is in self-denial. I don't think she is... oh, I actually do want it, but I'm going to say no. She genuinely is like, no, bro, you said I love you. You got in a car.
Yeah.
You left... freaking
he blew it.
Windward Circle, yeah.
As much as we've seen him grow, Rory has seen none of that. He left, he came back, he was nice to everyone except for her and hasn't had any interaction with her other than to say, I love you. That's not enough. He's got to, like, she's got to see that he's a different person for there to be anything there.
I feel like it's fair. Yeah. I feel like it's fair.
I think that seems, like, really heartbreaking, which I don't know, I'm
it
probably...
is.
Because I feel like it's someone who's, like, so emotionally crippled, but he's just learned, like, the basics of how to express communication and love, and he's like, okay, now I'm ready. And it's like, oh, no, you have several more.
Yes. Well, that's what's so funny is because he's, like, spitting it out so good to Luke in the previous scene.
Yeah, he's like, I got
this. And
he's
like, to Rory. Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, that's not...
It's like when you study and you feel so good about your test and then you get an F. And flunk it.
So when you study the first chapter.
So hard. First chapter. Love. Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, that... and truthfully, I feel like this might be Bledel's best scene in the show so far. She just breaks my little heart. And she's like, no. Like, because the no, it was a perfect pause on the no. It was a perfect amount of time before saying, no. You know, it wasn't just like, no. Or, you know, it was great. I loved it. I love that choice. She did a phenomenal job. Is it hard to take me seriously while I'm wearing this?
I take you more seriously.
Too late now.
Thank you.
You look like Lana Del Rey. It's weird.
Lana Del, hey. Oh, sorry. So otherwise, I mean, was this sad for you, Mar, to watch Rory break Jess's little heart?
It is sad. He's trying so hard. And you could tell she does still have feelings for him because there is this thing that is just unresolved. you know? And but I'm one of those people, I like the sad scenes too. Like the episode after this is actually my favorite episode ever of Gilmore Girls. I love when anybody fights on this show. So it was just like, oh yeah, like go at it, you know.
Fight. It is enjoyable. And, well, you know, and I think there's a divide maybe in the fandom. I don't know. We're
About that too. Like there are the people who like the lighter moments more than there are the. I mean, I still like TJ talking about his tights, but like I love any fight that like Emily and Lorelai have. I love any fight. I even like the fights that Lorelai and Rory have. I think those are great too. And that's like what I watch it for.
It's for the conflict, because the conflict is so well done on the show.
Yeah, it is.
When two characters have opposing points of view that are valid in some fashion, maybe not equally valid, but have some validity, and it's not weirdly antagonistic or off balance or off kilter, that's when the show is functioning at its best, which is so much of the Emily and Lorelai conflict and some of the Jess and Rory conflict, I would say, as well.
Yeah. Well, it's also earned on this show, because sometimes, especially with Lorelai and Emily, you'll see the like hint of the fight starting where like you see one of them shaking it off like, nope, I'm gonna ignore that, and then it slowly builds, which I feel like is how things actually work when you get into a conflict.
Well, that kind of happens with Richard and Emily in this season. Like I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, well, that kind of came out of left field. But you watch it, and in every episode you can see Emily's resentment growing, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not wonderful, but it's wonderful for me.
He's taking her for granted.
Yeah, from a performance perspective,
seen in the mall.
Yeah, one of the best stepping stones for that is when she's like, do you like the apples? Like, oh, I've always liked them. And you're just like, oh.
It's, that's a toughie, man. It's great. That's a heartbreaker. Oh, man. I love those.
Is that episode come out? Yeah, I don't know what schedule. Okay.
No, we're so backed up because we want to do special episodes for these shows. And then we want to do a special episode for our next live show for the finale. So we like backed up so much. And we're like a month ahead of schedule. So this won't come out until like all of your birthdays are over or whatever.
We'll have a new president by the time this is out.
Yeah, we'll have a new president.
And I voted for the van.
Hurry him. What else do we need to cover on this show? I mean, Dean acting like a dumb a-hole the whole time. Also, like, let's recap this. So Rory goes out with stupid Graham, which Emily set him up with, and he's like, I'll take boxes, blah, like you said, incorrectly. And so they go out, and he's just broing so hard with his bros. So hard with his bros. It's insane. It's crazy. And she's just, like, sipping a beer alone. By the way, he might be underage. She's definitely underage. So I guess they didn't card her. And then she's stranded, and she doesn't know who else to call.
Yeah, does she not know anybody else at Yale?
No, I think the answer is no.
Also, the whole thing is based on that she's so close to her mom, she can call her for anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if she can go home for laundry every weekend, she can call her mom to pick her up from the bar.
She wanted Dean.
She did. She totally did.
She that was a choice.
Yeah.
The logistical.
It reminds me a little bit of when Lorelai calls who else? Christopher at her own bachelorette party.
Mike, see, Mike is in tune with this show.
Mike has
really gotten to the ebb and flow of the rhythms of these women. And it is, I mean, ladies, listen. Anyway. But yeah, okay, so yeah, it defies logistics. So she calls Dean. Dean comes to her rescue. They hang out at a bar and charge, I hope, upwards of $1,000 on that dude's tab. Because
they bought rounds for the entire bar. Sure.
I hope so, for everything. Yeah, dummy. And so then he's just hanging out with her on the campus, and that's when Jess says, go home, Dean. It's a real go home, Roger, from Sister.
It really
Sister
is.
Home. It was go home, Dean.
Yeah, also it's a classic Dean line. What is he doing here?
Yeah. Wait, I can't remember if it was in this episode or the last episode, but the one where like Dean's buying tampons and Jess is like, at Josie's Market.
That was last episode.
That was last episode.
Because I recalled, I was like, oh, look, they can be friends.
Oh,
nope.
No. Almost. So close.
Although it was very funny how you think it's going to be like Dean makes some weird stand to Jess, like, you need to get out of here. And Roy's just like, no, go, I got it. And he's just like, what? Oh, and he just like sullenly like walks away.
Rory doesn't even say like I didn't invite him here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she doesn't even say that.
She just says go home, Dean.
Yeah. But she should. He's married.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. Go home to your wife.
It's legit.
Which is like
Fair enough.
The final blow. He can't be like, I don't like my what. You're right, you're right.
I want to stay here with you, Rory.
Yeah. I was so scared when they were walking on the quad. I was like, he's going to kiss her. I can't do this. He's going to kiss her. I would have been so mad.
That'd be bad. Did anyone... because I
know it
some,
eventually happens.
Right. I read some Television Without Pity stuff about this episode. And some people... And I don't want to joke too much about this, too. But some people got into a discussion about, like, oh, was there a threat when Jess was alone with Rory in that dorm room, given how one of their last encounters went? Was there any threat of, like, of assault or anything there? And I didn't read that exactly from the... Okay, let's shut that down. That's all I needed. But yeah, Jess does not... This is not what Rory wants. And I'm glad, finally, for Rory has been so... And we've talked about it on the show. Rory's been such a passive agent in so much of this season. Other than maybe an active development towards entitlement. And take a shot. But this is a strong, active choice. No, I'm not putting up with your bullshit anymore, Jess. It's done. It's over. It's over.
Do you think in that moment that also it's like, because they have that whole thing where at the beginning they're talking about how it's her with the lamppost and like she hasn't dated all season, which is weird too, because in that collage there are two pictures of Rory with the lamppost. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
She and loves
I was
that lamppost.
Is that a joke from the show, or is it like Tana just really couldn't find any pictures? Like, is the joke that she only.
Was she made two copies, or was it like Rory was the lamppost doing different poses?
I love that. There. I love that joke, by the way. That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Rewatch.
That was a good Gilly Chuck moment. Yeah.
I laughed, but I was also like, how. What?
No, I was just leaning in.
You leaned over as if you were like, ain't that a punchline?
Is this weird?
Not at all. A little to the left. No, I thought that was a funny scene, but I was also like, Tana, how bad is your awareness that you don't get? Like, this is... She'll have a problem with you going like, everyone's in love but you.
Pretty bad.
Mean. I know. A weird kind of single shaming for the show. You know? Like, it is. Because it should be... And I guess that's to the point to put Rory in the emotional spot that she is and make her turning down Jess even more resonant and loaded is like, oh, because she was, you know, she's been thinking about it, she brings it up at dinner with Emily, blah, blah, blah. That's why she set her up with Graham. But it is weird for this show, you know, for a show that's so much about strong, independent, fierce women, like that it would hammer that point home, I think is interesting.
The only thing that I think that's weirder than that is Lorelai jokingly trying to trip her mother up into saying that they've separated. She's just like, so mom. And she's got like this look in her eye like she's ribbing her. And I'm like, do you
pain.
Want your parents to be separated? Do you want to have an aha moment? Because it's going to be an aha. Oh. You know, that's what's going to happen.
It's
if you're
weird,
right.
Detached glee.
I don't think she's thinking it through. I think she's just like, I want her to admit it.
For sure.
It's, we'll
it,
see.
But it still seemed a little too gleeful for me. I mean, yeah, it didn't seem thought through, but yeah. It seemed a little too gleeful for me.
It's like an extreme version of when Emily's trying to get Lorelai to admit the flyers were a lie. It's just like, you don't want to know the answer. Like, let this lie happen and live in it.
Just keep living your life. Yeah. And of course, we can talk about the storyline that is, of course, Mrs. Kim visiting Lane and her roomies. I tell you what, you know, we asked, oh, did you cry during the dance with the thing? I cried when Mrs. Kim showed up and smiled and said, thank you for inviting me. That really got me. For some reason, it was just like, good, because she's like, she's in this place where she wants to be supportive of her daughter. She doesn't agree with her, and it's all wrong in her mind, but she's trying her best, and she's trying to bridge that gap and that divide between the two of them. And it just, it really struck me. And then Zach and freaking Brian ruined it all.
Yeah. Hey, I'll go get some tea.
I actually wrote in my notes, shut up, Zach.
I thought they were cute in that sense.
They do look sweet. Cute. They do look cute.
Yeah.
Did
you think in ties. General.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I guess their personalities are cute, too.
What did you think when Mrs. Kim came up to Lorelai and was like, they're dirty? Which I feel like is a very Gilmore Girls buzzword. Like,
oh, yeah.
I expected Lorelai to go, dirty. Yeah.
Right.
It must have took a lot for Lorelai not to say that.
Right, yeah, I don't think Mrs. Kim knew she was queuing up her catchphrase, like, can I get a dirty?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she knew that. Like,
later,
like
Lauren Graham
word.
Was like, that's my thing.
They're boys.
I mean, it's interesting that she came to Lorelai with that at all. I mean, I know Lorelai was the one who prompted it, but it's so interesting to see Mrs. Kim take advice from Lorelai.
I think she was just like
how
in
often
a weird.
Does that happen?
She was like, "Look, you have your daughter still. Please help me keep mine."
Oh.
No, I mean that's real.
That's nice.
Yeah,
it's true. No bits. Punk Planet.
Punk Planet. You guys up to date on Punk Planet? You guys read all the issues and stuff?
Dude, I'm caught up on my Punk Planet, bro. I'm in Punk Galaxy now. Oh, I wanted to play a clip from The Wedding. This is pre-Magical Dance to Reflecting Light, which is a great, beautiful song by Sam Phillips. This is when Lorelai's kind of giving Luke some guff and making fun of a child for wanting to better himself. So let's watch that.
Jess was there, and he had his backpack, and it was open. And I saw this book. I thought I was seeing things.
A book?
Yes, it was a self-help book with some goofy title, like Learn to Love, or How to Love When You're Unloved, or something like that. Isn't that bizarre?
Space.
Well, it's space. It is bizarre.
Well, maybe he's just trying to learn something, better himself.
Have you seen this book?
No, I know nothing about this book.
Those kinds of books are idiotic.
Not if they help people.
I can't believe you're not mocking this book, which is so pathetically mockable.
Well, maybe it's more pathetic if people don't try. And maybe he's trying. You ever think of that?
No.
He can read whatever he wants to read. I forgot to get something to drink. You need something to drink?
I'm fine.
I love Luke. I fucking love
Yes.
Luke. He's the goddamn best.
Wait. Tell me if I'm remembering this correctly, Mike. Did you start wearing flannels more because of Luke?
Oh, yeah. I modeled my fashion off Luke. Yeah. I love him. He's great.
He's a good model for what a man
wonderful.
Is.
I feel like I relate to Luke more than any other character on the show, which is interesting. Yeah, I love Luke, too.
In what way? Like, just being tired of everyone's shit? Or
I guess.
But
just
with
like
article.
He just, you know, sort of grumpy and straightforward, but, you know, like, you know, just like angry at, like, angry at little things and, you know, ranting about stupid stuff like jam hands and, yeah.
Jam hands! Always jam on their hands.
I also love how expressive Scott Patterson is in this scene. Just like the minute that she says it, like
it was perfectly
played. He goes through like five emotions at once as he's underrated. I want more Scott Patterson and things. Thank you.
Hey,
I also like want more excuses for him to take his shirt off, but you know that's not just me, right? Okay, thank you.
Spoilers. Wait, she wants more what?
You didn't hear?
No.
Okay.
I can listen to it at home.
Don't.
Okay.
So overall, yeah, Luke is 100% right in this scene. Lorelai's being a dick. Can you believe it? A self-help book.
She goes out of her way to mention it too. Like it's not.
It's probably because she hates Jess, but she's also mentioning it to Jess's uncle. So
yeah it's a weird person to confide in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
Your nephew's a douche.
Liz, you're never gonna believe what I saw your son doing.
And do you think in any universe Luke would be like, "Hey Jess, so Lorelai comes up to me, right? And she starts talking about your book. You know, like it wouldn't be the same at all." And then let's talk, of course, about, I started this sentence not knowing where I was going, but now I'm seeing in a note, Glenn holding up a picture of his child bride was all time. So Glenn holds up a picture that's way too young. And I thought, what was his explanation? Oh, she was young when we took the picture or whatever.
Don't make this gross or something, she said.
Yeah, don't make it gross.
You made it gross by not having a current photo of your girlfriend and still parading it around town.
That would be not good. Like, imagine.
She didn't ask to see a photo. He went, "Here you go." Like, just wait until you have a current.
Oh, brother. I mean,
Glenn's a mess.
Glenn, we need to talk about Glenn. Glenn, I wish all of season 5 was just devoted to his, like, recovery to being a normal human.
He's 10 gallons of man
just
in
him
an
reading
8-gallon
that book.
Oh, poor guy. We'll never know what happened to him in Florida. Maybe that was the key to understanding all this.
I'm telling you, we just need a spinoff to explain certain things. Like, we just follow Glenn on spring break. And that's like Arrested Development.
Yeah, I like the idea of a Rashomon-type situation.
Yeah.
Like,
what really happened
What was Glenn
the,
doing
on the shore
that whole time? Or something.
I also want to see everything from Paris's point of view.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It would be a lot
Team
of people
Paris,
saying,
I mean,
blah, 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 blah. And then, like, she's just like, I can't listen to you anymore.
Paris.
Paris angry.
Yeah.
Paris smash.
She's like an action hero.
Me destroy with math.
Oh, boy. Any stray observations from the episode? I mean, oh, well, we do get a lovely moment at the end where Luke asks Lorelai out. Let's watch
fun.
That clip.
Yeah, it was.
Well, night.
We should do it again.
Are you going to the wedding coming up?
No, I meant have fun, you know, like a movie or something.
I didn't think you were a movie guy.
I can be a movie guy. You like movies.
Yeah, good, bad, and in between.
How about next week? Sunday?
Sunday?
Sunday. You free? I
think so.
Okay, good. Good.
Good. Good.
I'll see you. Before then, but I'll see you then, too.
Yeah, I'll see you both of those thens.
And then her face.
Yeah, Mike's pumping his fist. Yeah. Mic drop moment.
Well deserved, too. That was a good.
Yeah, we
good
should
moment.
Do it again. You know, I realized this is kind of off topic. What I realized watching this scene is you were influenced fashion wise by Luke. I was influenced a little bit by the way that he talked.
Yeah,
I realized,
he had new moves.
Yeah. Like sometimes because, you know, because Scott Patterson himself is from New Jersey, there's a little. Stars Hollow in New Jersey.
You guys been there before?
Ever heard of it? But he has a slight accent. So he says the word do kind of like do. Like, oh, we should do it again sometime. It's like it's a little bit there. And what I realized is I said do like that when I was a teenager because of this show, I'm pretty sure. Like it literally influenced the way I pronounce words.
Actually, you know, now that I think about it, I had a teacher in college, my playwriting teacher was like, Mara, your play is just clogged with references. And I think that's just because I was watching Gilmore Girls in my free time. And so I was just like, this is what it is to be funny.
This is comedy.
Comedy. Laughter. You know a thing or two about that. Okay, well, we have time for a few questions, if I can get my cursor back.
Are we going to the web or are we going to the world?
We're going to the web.
Twitter Q&A.
I thought that would get a bigger response.
No, this audience hates Twitter.
MySpace only. Ashley asks, have either of you or any of us asked a girl to run away with you?
No.
I think I might have in high school. I don't remember.
Come with me. We'll follow Bruce on the road.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I was like, I have $600 in my bank account. I could get it all out tonight and we could hit the road. I really,
it's a one-way ticket for you and me.
And I think it was on Instant Messenger, too.
That's the way to do it.
Wow.
So you get the red message and then it's just like...
Oh, man. Jamie asked, where do you think Luke learned to waltz? Was it a waltz or was it to?
He definitely learned to dance from one of those books. There's like a diagram in there, just like foot here, foot
dance.
There.
Let's talk about dance.
Dance.
Yeah. So yeah, I wonder. Maybe Miss Patty was like, "Hey, Miss Patty, I got a wedding coming up. Do you mind if I?"
Luke, I've been dreaming of this day all my life.
Anyway. Let's see. Lisa asks, what is your slogan for your tights?
What?
Slogan for your tights. Because I think his was like, well, they can breathe. Do you have a slogan for your tights?
Tights. They're like that weird thing that women... Corsets for your legs.
That weird thing that corsets for your legs.
Well, you cut out half of that. It's got to go through some editing.
Okay.
It's set now.
Now, I'm...
Tights. Like shirts, but down.
There we go. I'm going to venture into the audience for a few questions, if you have any.
Put your hands up.
Make
if you
them
got
good.
A few.
Don't be shitty question askers, guys. What if I just get oddly aggressive? Oh, hello. We have one back here.
Hi, I'm Devin. My question hello. Is, how has Gilmore Girls shaped or changed the way that you view female characters in television that you watch or media that you watch?
Wow. Well, how much time do we have? That was great. Thank you so much. I feel like it's made me hate stuff that doesn't have good female characters in it. I think especially, doing this podcast has made me very intolerant of, like, Jurassic World, for example. all right. And stuff like Mad Max or Inside Out and stuff where it's like, I gravitate towards that more, I would say, because of this show and doing this podcast in particular and really having to examine all this stuff. I don't know if the rest of the panel has any thoughts on it.
Everything that Kevin said, but in my voice.
Fair enough. Any questions? We have a question back here.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hello.
This is for Demi. What's your prediction? What's next for Luke and Lorelai?
I don't mind spending every day.
Yeah, here, wait. Start from the beginning of Maroon 5, if you can, please.
Hang on.
Moonwalk.
Hella cash. Oh, shoot.
You got it.
Oh, no, I
don't. Are you kidding me? Hum it, Kevin. Hum it. Hum it. Luke picks her up, and she's like, what movie are we going to see? He's like, I don't know. I thought I'd let you pick. Oh, you don't have some prepared? First strike for Luke, you know? Not going so hot. So they get to the theater, and they say, okay, let's go see that. Casablanca? Yeah, I've never seen it. I heard it's good. You've never seen Casablanca? No. Strike two for Luke. So they go in there, and they're sitting through Casablanca, and Lorelai's talking through it all. Boss, the plane. It's so funny how that guy keeps saying the plane. Luke is like, shh, shh. Come on, I'm trying to watch the movie. Lorelai gets a little upset about it, you know? So they leave the movie and they're kind of on ends. Because Luke has been telling her, please don't talk through the movies. And she's like, come on, that's what I do. And so things aren't going so hot. So they go for dinner. And when they go to dinner, they go to a place that serves shellfish. Because Lorelai picked it. But here's the thing. Luke is allergic to shellfish.
What are they gonna do?
Luke's allergic to shellfish. So he starts breaking down. He's like, you know what? I don't think this is working. We should just go home. So they go back to her place. And she's like, I think I'm just gonna go to bed now. And he's like, you know what? I'm sorry. This wasn't everything I wanted. I got stung. My face swelled up. But yours didn't. And you look so beautiful tonight. And he starts rambling. And she can't help but kiss him. Through all the rambling, all of his apologizing and saying, I'm so sorry for this terrible date. She goes, it was terrible, but I was with you, and that made it great.
Good question. Thank you.
Thank you. That's definitely what happens.
Yeah, I think so. Do we have any over here? Hello?
Okay, so if Liz was getting a stripper at lunch, what do you think happened later on that night at the bachelorette party?
Wait, what was the end of the
If Liz was getting a stripper at lunch, what do you think happened later that night at the party?
I think Crazy Carrie kept her reputation.
Double the strippers.
Double the strippers.
Who is Crazy Carrie's husband? That's what I want to know.
What's that?
Oh, right.
The guy she makes out with at the end after everyone
I would
else.
Love if just everywhere they went for the rest of the day, they kept having people stop them and be like, excuse me, there's a warrant for your arrest. And then it's just a stripper. Like, every 5 minutes, it's like, how many strippers in this town are there?
It is, you know, I want to know that guy's backstory, the guy that showed up to the diner. Here we go. We got a question back in.
Hi, I'm Ada.
Hello.
Hi. If any other character in the show had to read a self-help book, who would it be, and what would it be about?
Kirk on How to Live.
That's what I was going to say.
Kirk reading a book called
Get It Together.
How not to be a disaster in all areas of your life. Excuse me. We got a question over here. Yes, sir.
What show currently on is most like Gilmore Girls?
You know, people say Jane the Virgin a lot.
Really?
That comparison is drawn. I've not seen it, so I can't speak to that.
I'm trying to think of shows I even watch that are currently
on. I don't know. As far as a small town community of people that are quirky but love each other, I think we just lost one in Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Give it up for Parks and Rec. bow down.
But
I can't think of anything. I'm
Jane the Virgin. Watch anything good that is on right now.
What do you watch?
Like Scandal.
Yeah, Scandal's a lot like Gilmore.
As someone who is currently like, I'm going to go home and watch like 10 episodes. No, it's not. It's a mess.
We got one more question back here.
Do you think the idea of Kirk choreographing the safety dance is a reference to him having so many jobs?
Oh, that's a deep cut. That's a really astute observation.
I thought for I wish I had like a copy of it, like a physical copy to edit this when I was watching it, because I really wanted to just put Kirk's face over the dwarfs in the safety dance video. That would have been lovely.
That would be horrific.
Is it safe to dance?
Right now I'm just bolting through the audience because I don't want to, I want to use the stairs.
Kevin's just trying to get his cardio up.
Any questions? Any questions? One more? Right.
Over here.
Hey, we got one in the front row.
How is Lorelai still so fucking clueless?
Well, I think the idea of that last look in the episode is that she's getting a clue.
Everyone in the show is kind of clueless to a degree.
To what?
To a
Luke
degree.
And Lorelai?
Well, to like any sort of romantic, like they've been, the entire town has been hinting like you and Luke forever. And she's like, what? No. And then when this happened, she's like, huh.
It's because she's stubborn. It's because she's stubborn. She doesn't want anything to be forced upon her.
And right. I feel like that moment when they're dancing, too, I feel like maybe she was like, Luke's cool, but like he'd never take me to the movies. He'd never dance. Like, you know, he's doing all
the
stuff.
He'd never hang out with a loser
like
me.
That's not what you would think Luke would do. Right, like, if she was like, oh, yeah, he's great to talk to, but like, would he be a boyfriend? And then he's like being like, yeah, I can be your boyfriend.
Boom. I read the book. I can do it. Energy.
Yes.
Stray observations before we wrap this up.
I don't have any for this one. I think we pretty much covered it all.
Aisha has one.
I did have something. Did you think when Liz gave Lorelai that talk about marriage, first of all, that line that she says you could be married for most of your life, I'm always quoting that to everyone because it's so true and it's so...
It's a weird way to think of time.
Yeah. And it's a good thing to tell people, too, when they're upset about dating. But it's like, yeah, don't worry about it. You can be married for most of your life. But also, she says, you're going to make some guy a great wife, and you're going to make some girl's going to be great. It's going to be great to have you as a sister-in-law. I was like, that's a thing no one says to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a common expression.
It's weird that she wouldn't say Luke, and that said, like, you're going to be a good sister-in-law.
Yeah.
That's so specific.
It's like... serving the plot, but like not real.
Do you think that was her way of being like, wink, wink, I know, and her just being like, I don't know what that means anyway?
No, she goes back and forth between seeming like she really likes Lorelai and then being clueless, like, oh, you know Jess? It's like, yeah, he dated my daughter.
He destroyed my daughter's view of romance.
It's like, oh, you've never been married. Like, she has no idea about
that. You have a baby. Were you not married?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here. Mike or Mara, did you have any stray observations before we.
I had one line that made me laugh out loud, which I'll just, it was when TJ and Liz were at the altar, and the minister says, Liz, do you want to tell TJ how you feel? And she goes, yes. TJ? And TJ goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
He was zoned out at his own. Yeah.
That was definitely Gilly Chugworth. Yeah, that was a lovely moment.
I think that Michael DeLuise is such a great comic actor. He nails all of the timing.
Yeah. Yeah, good timing.
It's weird to say that it was such a sweet moment, but when he is literally just like, you know, I had something, then I got these tights, and they don't have pockets, so I love you. Like, it was weird, because like any other show, you'd be like, wow, this guy sucks. But when he said that, I was like, that's kind of sweet from him, knowing that his character is like just kind of an idiot, but really earnest, and his head is not in another place. His head is just nowhere.
It's like laps. Do they exist as his head?
Right.
Exists?
Yeah. He's just brainless, but he has love, and he's given it to her in the stupidest way that he can.
Yeah.
Don't make that sexual.
That's for damn sure, baby. Oh boy. Well, let's go around the horn and give our rating for the episode. I really, really enjoyed it. As a penultimate episode for the season, I think it's aces. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 flower crowns.
That's a good one.
Danny.
I agree. It was incredible. I think this is one of my favorite episodes of this season so far. I was really happy that the the moment of them getting together was not, I didn't feel it was cheesy in any way. I was like, this is good.
It was
this
earned is... because they took so long to do it. It was earned.
It was earned, and like I was worried that it was going to be like all of these Maroon 5 things you've been saying, where it's like, oh, come on.
But you're my dog.
That would have been hilarious. But I just thought, like, when it came, I was like, that was a nice, real, like, tangible, didn't feel forced moment. That was really pleasant.
That was really
so good. I'm going to give this episode, honestly, I'm giving it 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 what?
10 out of 10 Yahtzees I'm winning.
Yahtzee I'm winning.
Yahtzees I'm winning.
Aisha.
I agree. This was a great episode. I mean, the dance. Luke was amazing in this episode. Like, all of his reactions.
Scott Patterson's
killing
it. Yeah.
Perfect. Jess, you know, I love to see his emotional growth. I think he's really making an effort. So
I empathize with him more in this episode than any other.
Yeah, and also Rory made emotional growth and was able to say no, which is also great. So yeah. I'm going to give it 9.5
Ooh.
Out of 10 Tana collages.
Lamppost. Mike.
I mean, it's all about Luke. And Luke just fucking just killed it. And he finally grew a pair of balls and fucking just asked Lorelai out. So I got to give it 10 out of 10 air pants.
Air pants. The pants that breathe.
Mara?
Okay. I like I said, the next episode is definitely my all-time favorite episode. So after compared to that, I think I am going to give it... let's see. I'm going to give it... 9 awkward ties thrown on at the last minute by Brian and Zach.
All the other ties, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. We're a little over time. But Aisha, Mike, Mara, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
What's your social media? So yeah, give it up for our guests, guys. A wonderful, beautiful panel. Where can we find you on social medias and all that stuff?
At Eshmu, E-E-S-H-M-U, Instagram, Twitter.
Nice.
Follow me. Can't wait to connect.
Great. That's cool. How you spell your name. All right, cool.
Sure, sweet, bro.
Am I just at Mike DeCenzo?
At Mike DeCenzo.
I'm at Mara Rice Stuff on Twitter.
Sick Twitter game. Killing it.
Thank you.
So much stuff that you had us introduce you with Twitter.
I did, yes. I actually, that's how I found you guys.
You know, me and Demi stuff, we all knew this.
Right. Go see the Minions movie or whatever.
Go see good movies for women.
Like
Inside
the Minions
Out,
movie.
Magic. That, what, really?
Now.
Okay, I can't. And of course, before we go, there's one last thing we need to do. Here we go. Everyone get ready.
I don't know what to
say. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get your show on. Get paid. All that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
Yeah,
it's a cool place on the road.
How about the volume?
Feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow. You tell me to, if you need, you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
I like that song.
Yes!
Thank you, everybody!
We did it! Thank you so much for coming out to the show!
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much!
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.